all-pro safety, beard aficionado, and former Ute great Eric Weddle to the Bill and OC show. E-Dub, what's going on, man?
Riles, Murph, Charlie Murphy.
What's up, buddy?
What's going on?
How was practice today? I saw a little snapshot on Twitter a moment ago. You looked like you were preaching to the boys today after practice. How'd it go?
Yeah, it was awesome. Not many guys, I don't really know many of the guys, but it's great. I watch every game, and I feel like I know them. So I just said some quick words of wisdom, per se, words of Weddle, and went over well. Great practice, and gosh, it's exciting. Got a good team coming back, so I'm excited and ready to watch them.
Well, yeah, we wanted to ask you kind of how you evaluated the talent pool overall. You're playing in the NFL now, obviously, and you're around the best in the world at the game of football. But for my money, every time I go up there for spring ball and fall camp, the guys look a little bigger, a little faster. Mm-hmm. Even the walk-ons are a little bigger and faster. The freshmen are a little bigger and faster. You feel that way about this Utah team?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like each year I come back, I'm getting a little smaller. And then when I hear it from players, then it's just like another shot in the gut. Unless you're a little bigger than that. So, yeah, I was like, well, let me put some pads on, and then I'll show you how big I am. So, but that's a good thing. It's a good problem to have for us. And, yeah, I mean, each year passes, we're getting better and better player-wise and physically and mentally each year that goes on. That playing in this Pac-12, we got to be ready each week in and week out. So it definitely shows up, and it's exciting to be a part of it.
Eric, what kind of reaction do you get from these guys when you're up there? I mean, clearly you're 10 years older than most of these guys. So, but you're around, your name's up there at the building. People talk about you. The coaches do. But these guys know you're a former Ute. They know you're in the NFL. I'm guessing for the most part, whether they've seen you play or not. Well, what's the reaction when you come up and talk with them? What's their how do they react? And is it any different than how you reacted when you were a player, and a former Utah player that was in the NFL came back?
Yeah, it's definitely it's still surreal to me. Anytime I'm in this situation, coming back to see my old team or players or fans, it's just I always look at myself as an equal and nothing more than that. And it's just flattering. The guys, want to come say hi and ask me questions, and you can tell that they're in just the NFL players the same way. I was just like, oh my gosh. Steve Smith just walked by me, and I just thought, like, how crazy it was, and now you're in that position. So it's pretty surreal, and you just want to give back and let them know that you love them and appreciate their hard work and know that, you want them to be good because you're representing me out there in a sense. We all represent each other. We're a family. You want Utah to do good because we represent it to the fullest. So it's pretty cool. It's a surreal moment for sure.
Back when you were a player, you and Morgan Scally had a great relationship. Now, obviously, he's coaching your position up there at the University of Utah. What are your conversations with Morgan like when you talk to him after practices like this?
It's great conversations for one, too. It's usually me jabbing him about something his players did wrong or what they could do better. I'm a little more knowledgeable than Morgan, obviously. I've played a lot longer than him and experience factor and yada, yada, yada. So, but he doesn't like to hear that. So we go good bantering back and forth. But, yeah, gosh, I love the guy. He's one of the guys I look up to, even to this day, one of the greatest humans and men I've ever been around. So he's a special, special guy that I love to be around. And another thing is shows out there on the defense. The guys play with heart and toughness and experience smart, and that's what you guys do in the back end.
Eric Weddle is our guest here on ESPN 700. I should say Eric Weddle and his beard are our guests on the program. Still sporting the beard, and it looks good. I saw him a couple days ago. Sione Pua's back in the program as an assistant, as a GA. He's obviously a guy who had a very similar career path to you. great career at the University of Utah. Was part of that BCS, was a captain on that BCS Bowl team, the BCS Busters for the Fiesta Bowl. Played a lot of great years for the New York Jets, and now he's back at his alma mater coaching. You've got some more time left in the NFL, but you already thinking about coming back and maybe coaching these youths someday, Deb?
I don't know. You never know. Maybe when the career is done and my wife would let me, obviously that would be pretty fun and exciting. And I definitely want to work with kids, whether it's high school, college, coaching them, and then being around them. I feel that can make a difference in that sense. So, man, there's nothing like coming back here, though. It's you get those little butterflies and get the emotions and the energy. You get around your old teammates and the coaches. Just a great, great atmosphere up here that you miss because you don't really get that anywhere else.
You're coming up on 10 years removed, and that makes you a pretty seasoned veteran in the National Football League. You've accomplished a ton. Really about the only thing missing from the resume is that Super Bowl, Eric. But when if at all, do you think about kind of your NFL mortality? Have you thought about, you know, how much longer? Have you thought about how – because I know you well enough. You're not a hang around and just try and play special teams guy. You're a guy play at the highest level or get away from it and go do something else. So have you thought about it? I mean, are you still pretty happy? You feel like you can compete for a few more years at the highest level?
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, you're exactly right. I'm not going to hang around. No disrespect to those players. Everyone has their roles, and when you play and start for your entire life, you're not going to do it just to hang around. I love the game, but I don't love it to do it that way. So I think I have a bunch of years left, honestly. I don't see myself paying late 30s, but I feel I got five years left in me playing at a high level, being one of the best in my position. I'd say in shape. I haven't been injured, so that all also plays a key role in being – you know, lucky of staying healthy and not having crazy injuries. So, I don't know. Play year by year. Who knows? This is my last year in San Diego, so hopefully I get extended. If not, then I'll be looking for a new job somewhere. So, we'll see what happens.
I wanted to ask you about the draft process, something that you obviously went through, and we're seeing evaluations done on guys, several Utah guys also, but I wanted to ask you about the quarterback situation. The top two quarterbacks in the draft right now are Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota, both very talented players, but guys who are sort of on the opposite end of the spectrum, character, maturity, leadership-wise. We're getting reports that Jameis Winston teams are like hiring private investigators to do background checks on him and to follow him around because he's been somewhat of a liability, somewhat of a wild card. You've played with a guy in Phillip Rivers who is more on the Mariota side. He's the guy who's a great leader. He's a family man. He's a law-abiding citizen, etc. Could you respect and play with a guy who wasn't that way at the quarterback position? Would it be harder for you to feel the same way about a guy in such an important spot on the field if he was perceived as immature or crazy or a wild man off the field?
Well, yeah, that position is obviously under a microscope every day, every minute. So you have to conduct yourself at a higher standard than everyone else. And rightfully so, you're the face of the franchise. And regardless of what happens in college, we would take him in. But if he's not acting a certain way or doing the things necessary to make you the best player and on and off the field, then it's not going to work for me or for the players in the locker room. And you know, Winston has done some things that he wished he'd had back. Obviously, we all have done those things. So, it's a delicate situation. What your team wants, what does your organization want? You're paying these guys a lot of money, so you want to do your due diligence. So I understand looking at everything and anything, but they're both great quarterbacks. We'll see what happens. I just know that if you don't act the right way, you're going to have a short term in the NFL because the next guy's waiting the next year to take the job. So you'll be out sooner than later if you don't do anything right.
You mentioned a second ago, Eric, you've been lucky and fortunate in your career. You've not suffered any major injuries. I'd be curious. You know, the talk over the last couple of years has been concussions in the NFL and things that have gone on right in your backyard. The greatest, one of the greatest Chargers of all time, took his own life, and Junior Seau. Amongst yourself, when you guys are in the locker room, how much of a conversation over the last couple of years has the concussion thing been among the players? Not out in the general public, but when you guys are amongst yourselves, is that a real concern among players?
I mean, what's been going on over the last couple of years, and guys with the concussions and the Junior Seau, for example, we understand what this game is in the what we go through every day in the games and the physical activity, but you have to take care of yourself and you have to have an outlet once the season's done and once your career's done. For me, I play the game, but I also have a very sane self with my wife and my kids, and understand that football isn't everything in my life. And I think if you have a great foundation and understand and have a plan after the season to go through that hardship and go through the times where you don't have it. I mean, it's hard to adjust. Every guy will tell you it's hard to adjust when you leave the game, you leave the team, you leave your teammates, you leave the routine of the NFL, of your job every day. You're working towards something, and you take that away. It's hard to deal with. So we talk about it, but it stays amongst ourselves, and we're always there for each other, and that's the best thing I think to do is be there for your brothers and let them know no matter what that you can be there and you can talk to them and help them out any way possible.
Do you campaign with your coaches and your general manager in San Diego to maybe get Nate Orchard drafted or Eric Rowe or Patassi or Drez Anderson, get some fellow Utes on the squad?
I bring it up anytime I see them, whether they're out scouting and if they've been to Utah to the pro days or watch their games during the season. So I know what's going on and what they what their opinion is on them and what they think. So I'm always trying to put in a good word for my guys, get them in the league and give them a chance.
What stood out most? I know you watched practice, talked to the guys today. Anyone, anybody, anything stand out most to you about this Utah team?
The athleticism, speed, Booker, catching the ball, his vision. Number four was pretty exciting. I remember him in the bowl game, came out of nowhere. I was like, where's this guy been all season? He showed that on a swing pass, and then they two cuts. And got up the middle, and I think it was a touchdown in 2 minutes ago, but they drew it dead after 10 yards. So it's exciting. Our front seven is going to be monsters this year. Need to see the receivers. We got any big play guys, and we got to make some plays, help out our quarterback, whoever the quarterback may be, and go out and play, man. Each week, you got to win. You got to win them all, have a chance. So it's exciting to think of the possibilities we got coming up.
Barack Obama is in Salt Lake City today, Dub. If we put you and the President of the United States next to each other at autograph tables up there at the University of Utah, who's got a longer line?
Oh, guaranteed. Me, of course. I mean, come on. No, I don't know.
I've seen it. I've seen it. You need Secret Service around you when, like, at a spring football game, if you ever want to get out of there. I've been part of the detail that has to pull Eric Weddle out of a game. Ridiculous.
Hey, I asked OC, with Polamalu's career coming to an end, and you're a fellow safety. He's got that head and shoulders deal for his long hair. Kiesel had it for his beard. Is there any chance head and shoulders might pick up you for their newest endorser? You're a safety and an all pro?
No, I don't know about that. I like to stay out of the limelight too much. I like to be in it on the field, but on the field, I try to stay away. Too much time with the Rugrats and it's hard enough to get away for golf one week. My son looked at me, he gives me that evil stare. He's like, for real, Dad? You're going to leave again? You're not going to play with me? And I'm like, oh. He's like, another side kidney punch I got
to
deal with.
Well, you need to take him and get him golf lessons, Dub. Then you've got a reason to go out and play. Then your wife can't give you a hard time. You're taking your son out to play golf with you.
I know. I'm working on it. I'm still a work in progress with this whole daddy husband daycare game all season.
All right. The most important question, how close are we to convincing wifey to come down to Australia? You guys were a good luck charm in Boston. I need you to be there for the next fight in Australia. Do we need to find you nannies or sitters for the kids? How do I get you down there?
You know, you have to get on the phone with the wife. If you can make it happen, you know, bring all four with, like, bring my parents and then the in-laws and some other people to watch the kids. So I don't have to watch the kids, and maybe we could talk about it. But that's a long flight, man.
He's going to have to win and get fight of the night to afford to bring the entire Weddle crew down there. His purse will be all gone.
It'd be worth it.
Yeah. You know what? I loved, it was my first live event for UFC, going to see Sean, and it was incredible. And just to be there to support him, and I said, the first time he was in the States, I'd be there for him, and I wish I could go to Australia. You know, if it was me by myself, I'd be there in a heartbeat to support him. So he knows I'll be watching, and whether it's online, internet, bootleg, I'll be watching it somewhere.
Well, I'm looking forward to the fight, but it was great to see you the other night. We always love it when you come back in town. Appreciate you taking the time. I know that you probably got 1,000 different people pulling you in 1,000 different directions, so we'll let you go. But thanks, Dub. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, E-Dub.
Hey, good seeing you guys, man. Love you guys.